This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we're going to go right off the top of the bat. We've got some sad news to report. A local radio icon, longtime radio colleague has passed away, Mark Gilman. And we wanted to start off the show to talk a little bit about him and to give our dear friend Mike Gallagher, who knew him very well, kind of came up through the business together with him, a chance to reminisce and to talk a little bit about his relationship to Mark and what Mark meant to the Salem community. Mm-hmm. Mike, thank you for coming in. We appreciate you taking the time today.
Oh, sure. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so go ahead. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Only thing I can say is in this little room right here where we are sitting, mm-hmm. in 1986, late 86 through 88, Mark and I worked in that little room right behind Hunter there.
And it's little.
It's the production room now. It was the newsroom then. And then you had access to the disc jockey where he's sitting. And we were the news team. Well, he was the news team at KGAY prior to that at 1430 KGAY. Changed mm-hmm. the call letters, moved the station from Lancaster to where it is today in Kaiser in a brand new mm-hmm. building. And then I came the end of 86 and joined him as the new sports announcer because they wanted to put live sports on the air. And eventually I joined the team and became part of the news team. And then someone that we hear his voice a lot nowadays decided that I would be the evening disc jockey and not the afternoon news guy. So
who might that be?
He's everywhere. Let's put it that way. And Warren just thought it would be a better idea for me to do that. So he did the news till a certain time. We overlapped. I did the news and created for him for the next morning and whatever else. We had award-winning news at 1430 KYKN and at KGAY, where I did not work. And Mark he put it together. He was an Associated Press, small market radio news award-winning guy. He's the one that broke the Diane Downs story when she escaped.
Really?
It was supposed to be my weekend, but it was my anniversary, and Mark ended up being home. He never went home. He lived here.
So that was a huge story.
Huge story, yeah. Well, he was one of the first radio people to break it, and he did a lot of work from right in this building right here for about 2 days and complained half the time, but he really loved it. And Mark was a perfectionist, and I think we all are to a degree. And when I left here in 1988 to go work in Portland, Mark was going to back to college. And I said, why don't you take your show down to another station? And he gave me the Marty McFly, but what if they don't like me, you know? And he went down there, and for over 35 years, he worked for KBZY and Roy Dittman and worked with Rick Allen and Doc Nelson and Terry Saul and all Gary Horowitz as well. All these nice people that worked down there, friends of mine. And then he was just there like me. I had a real job. He had a real job. And then our other part-time gig was seasonal football and basketball on the radio.
Interesting. That's so interesting.
And so we just got together and put together a schedule every year. We usually battled for a game or two. Sometimes he would huff and puff a little, and I did the same. But we always got it done. We never competed. We always had the two best games of the week on this station and KBZY. And then I stopped doing it for a while because I got tired of Friday and Saturdays. I came back 5 years ago, thankfully, mm-hmm. to this station. Mark mm-hmm. was still doing it then, but Mark had also contracted the disease that made him retire 2 years ago, frontal temporal dementia. And that was really getting him in the last 6 weeks of his life to the point where he was capable, but he was just physically becoming less and less of himself. We got along. We still talked. He still liked to go out to lunch, especially if I bought. And but then he just wanted to stay home, and he wouldn't pick up the phone. He couldn't do a lot of things. Yeah. And then he got sick. It was a foot infection that he had gotten. He had MRSA, and I think that is probably what took our friend's life. It wasn't the FTD, but he was very comfortable. He was on hospice for over a week. He has a loving family that made some tough decisions. But what I would love to say about Mark is we competed. We mm-hmm. wanted to be better than the other guys. So we're always doing things. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, I come up with some fact or some interview he wouldn't get because that was fine. Or he'd tell me something he did, you know, and I did better than you. But we really loved each other like brothers, except for a couple of bumps in the road along the way. And who doesn't have bumps in the road for 36 years? We got along fine. He was a fine broadcaster. He was well-prepared. He had a big team with him that went everywhere with him. Somebody to do his stats, somebody to be a spotter. His dad, Jerry, was next to him, the former first head coach at Sprague High School, Jerry Gilman. He was his color guy for almost 32 years, 31 years. And then Jerry retired, and then Mark got Gary Horowitz to work with him from the Statesman Journal. And then Mark just couldn't call the games anymore, so he had to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, again, longtime radio, Salem Radio, it is a very, very kind of a small group that kind of moves around. I ended up last night getting a text from, you know, everybody remembers Bill Post, the Bill Post radio show. So, and he moved down to Nevada. So the word got out. It happened yesterday. And a lot of people are obviously praying for the family. And I saw the post that the family had put out as well. Very beloved in the community.
He is. And he was just, he worked at North Salem for over 20 years. He's loved over there. He's called some of the biggest high schools. State championship games in football and basketball. I never have ever done as many as him, just because he's always broadcasting the teams that were a little better, but you know, for in terms of overall talent. But Mark Elman, he is, I mean, ask anybody that coaches now, the athletic directors at all of these schools, the head football coaches at many of the schools we have now, Caleb over at North Salem, Sean Stanley over at West, pick one. He and I both have broadcasted their games when they played, or we've known them since their playing days. And Mark he's got grandkids that were coming up that he was probably going to be broadcasting had he not become ill. Mm-hmm. So, that could be said about me too, but Mark just reached out a little farther and for a lot longer.
Yeah. Well, what a beautiful tribute. And thanks for the history on that. And I love that. And how he was interwoven into the community. He's a voice certainly will be missed, obviously, by his family, but by the community as well. Mike, we appreciate you coming in and taking a few moments out of your day to remember Mark Gilman.
Remember when we couldn't talk about the other people at the other radio stations?
That's right.
When
I know. That's crazy.
That's
we
dumb.
Don't.
I love Mark Gilman. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah. I think we all will. I there's a couple of memorable you know, halftime shows that last year, I believe you and Charlie did it at North Salem, where Mark snuck into the little box up there and got to, you know, kind of say a few things on this station.
And I don't know which ones those are. I'd love to pull them out. But the point is, we wanted Mark to have, he never got to say goodbye. It just pulled, he had to leave. So I said, and then we set up some real quick, I'm sorry, Denise, tributes. To him at South Salem, at Sprague, and at McNair. They all did tributes, gave him a jersey from the school, brought him out on the field, and said thank you. Mm-hmm. And those are your athletic directors and your coaches do that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. What a great legacy. Oh, Mike, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and your friendly neighborhood Bi-Mart.
Oh, it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Mm. Hopefully I got some lucky numbers. We'll find out.
You better check. You better check. Well, it is Tuesday. It also is it's January 6th. Where's our scare music?
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Or otherwise known as Liberal Tears and Fears Day. I we're doing show prep, and I'm like, Hunter, make sure you bring your pearls. We need to be clutching them today.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. And I sit here and I go, this is the day that you know, Democrat lawmakers have told us is the worst day of violence in American history. And I'm just going, I was watching the feeds live.
Me too.
And I'm going, okay, there was some bad behavior.
Oh, yes, there was.
But I'm going, this isn't everything they claimed it was days later.
And of course, it's the 5-year anniversary and everything that's come out about how there were FBIs in there, embedded in there. And of course, we also do need to remember the only person that died on that day. I believe there was another woman. I can't remember her name, but the one we remember the most is Ashley Babbitt. And it turns out I was out online poking around, and the guy, the cop that shot her, his wife, they own a daycare. Somewhere. So I don't know what's coming out about that. It was like, OMG. It's like the little network of all kinds of stuff. I also was reading today, too, that hundreds of pardoned. Because remember, this was maybe a riot. Okay, I could maybe go there. I mean, there was bad behavior, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there was also tear gas and stun guns shot into a crowd of mostly peaceful people that were just there. And Trump was taken out of context. They've dined out on that clip, supposedly saying he was instigating all this and, you know, for pushing these people to do it, which now that we know, it's sort of like the very fine people thing. Not really. And then they were like letting these people in and they were wandering around and staying within the rope lines. So, you know, was there bad behavior? Yes. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, no, it didn't rise to the level of the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. And today, hundreds of pardoned defendants will hold a press conference and a peaceful march. I don't know when this may have already happened. At the U.S. Capitol, including a march from the Ellipse and a wreath laying for Ashley Babbitt. And this is going to be hosted by a group called Stand in the Gap and Real America's Voices. Hopefully that goes off without a hitch. Granted, we have a different administration. So that whole thing was just, there are so many people who still buy that false narrative. I can't tell. Well, all the cops that died. No, none of them died. No,
well,
it didn't happen.
And wherever you stand on Trump pardoning these people, yeah. When you really look at it, besides a handful of troublemakers and irony, if you look at the FBI's most wanted list, some of the very top ones have been eliminated without ever being captured. And then, of course, when it comes out that there was over 200 FBI agents or whatever embedded into the crowd, then you start to add 1 plus 1.
Yeah.
And I sit here and go, you know, a lot of the pardoning was done on the basis of over punishment for what they were involved in.
I remember the elderly grandmother who was dying of cancer. Let's throw her butt in jail. Yeah, that's justice.
In a solitary for 3 years. I mean, that's what a lot of these people went through.
Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
And I
just sit here and go, and it seems like, you know, why do you throw someone into solitary for 3 years? Well, we have convicted killers and everything else that aren't in being punished in that way. They're allowed to do interviews. They're allowed to get their story out.
They're allowed to be on police review boards.
Yeah. And I sit here and I go, you know, it tells me that there's people that didn't want them to tell their side of the story.
Well, you got to love the Babylon Bee. I sent this over to you. Democrats solemnly remember the only riot they didn't like. Babylon Bee, on the anniversary of January 6, 2021 incident at the Capitol, Democrat lawmakers gathered together once again to solemnly remember the only riot they didn't like. At a somber ceremony of remembrance, congressional Democrats met to observe the 5th anniversary of the only violent protest in history that they weren't happy about, and they refused to celebrate it.
I love their mock Hakeem Jeffries quote, "We're normally all about violent riots, but not this one."
He goes on to say, Hakeem Jeffries goes on to say, "This one was bad, but only this one. All the other times large mobs of people flooded the streets to loudly protest, damage property, and inflict physical injuries were beautiful displays of dissent, which is a right guaranteed under our great Constitution. 5 years ago today, however, people calmly strolling through this building to defend the Constitution was the darkest day in the history of our nation. Let us never forget the one riot that was bad."
Yeah. Democrats are quick to point out that while what happened at the Capitol on January 6, 2021 was an unacceptable act of lawlessness, all other destructive riots were not only welcome, but worthy of commendation.
Mostly peaceful.
Yeah. It's sad that we come here every year to this day to remember how horrible it was, says Congresswoman AOC. "What we should be doing today is honoring George Floyd and all the violent criminals who staged horrific riots in major cities across the country. Those riots were good. The one here on January 6th, bad."
Bad. And again, I can't say enough. The Babylon Bee. Yes, yeah. It's satire, people. I guess we have to say that.
Yeah, we know it. We know it.
but this is, and this is a Twitchy article. I don't know if you know about Twitchy. Twitchy goes out and kind of combs the bowels of X. Not really the bowels, but Anna puts together tweets on things. Apparently, Cankles, Hillary Clinton, was out there. She decided to come out and celebrate the January 6th, and she's been milking it for all she could. She's got a tweet out there. 5 years ago today, Donald Trump urged his supporters to attack Congress and the Capitol over a proven lie. More than 140 police officers were injured. Trump then pardoned the attackers. He betrayed both his oath and his country, and we won't ever forget it. And the ratio on this has been delicious.
Well, and that's where my challenge lies, is you have a bunch of people, prominent people, such as Hillary Rodham Clinton or whatever she's going by now, out there sitting here, you know, literally perpetrating the lie, because we know from video fact that Trump said march peacefully. And they in the news media cut that off. X censored him at that moment, and he wasn't allowed to do anything out there.
Right.
And I just sit here and go, and then of course you have, like you said, the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt and these other police officers that were heavily involved that then went in front of Congress, and video evidence shows that they lied.
Yeah.
You know, I was injured, and then you can show a video of them, you know, walking around, not even in the area they claimed they were injured in. And you're kind of going, wait a second, where's the perp walk for these people? Because lying to Congress is like a sport now.
It is. And again, we talk about consequences. What's the old, what is it, Mark Twain, the a lie makes its way around the world before the truth even gets to put on its pants. I may have butchered that. But yeah, and the other thing with Hillary out there is she doesn't have comments on. So you can't reply. She just blows that out there and then whoop. Run away and just leaves it out there so nobody can push back.
Well,
but she's being tweet quoted or quote tweeted or whatever all over the place.
Well, you know, you got to give her credit. At least she puts her face on there and not some cat or some, you know, sunset or something and pretend that she is someone of importance.
Well, I like Nick Searcy, actor, director, producer, author. 5 years ago, Democrats like Hillary Clinton created a huge lie about January 6th to cover up their theft of the 2020 election. Now, there's a lot of stuff coming out about that, which I think we're going to continue to see more. Again, this is a Nick Searcy quote. And persecuted the people of January 6th in a way that would have made Stalin proud. We will never trust anything they say again. Yep.
Yeah.
That is true.
No, and that's it's the exposing. And I just sat here and I literally looked at this scenario where they're locking away all of the it's like, you know, when you go back and you do a little research on the JFK assassination and you find out that the FBI and the powers that be went and collected any photos or videos of the crowd at the point of his assassination. I sit here and go, they kind of did the same thing. Washington, D.C., this area is the most surveilled place you will find in this nation. And yet it took how many years before the video even came out? They locked everything away, did all of these trials and all of these persecutions, and then all of a sudden we were forced to release the video. And now you're seeing a little different angle, even if you believe the hype from the get-go.
Right. And like I said, there are so many people, you know, even people that I know personally that still fully are stove in and believe all this. I love the great Gad Saad, another great follow out there. He said, it's truly astonishing, an inability to shift away from a tired narrative. Mm-hmm. They just are clutching and will not let it go. Even when all the evidence is coming out that has debunked so much of it, they just can't let it go.
Yeah. And I just sit here and I go, I mean, and that's the other thing is that the national media needs to announce when they have done things to edit videos, and yet they never did it. But yet, if you actually watch the actual videos, there's no sound. And yet, every time you were to see it on the news, there's plenty of sound. Yeah. And it's all bad sounds and riot sounds and, you know, people throwing things and glass breaking and all sorts of other crazy sounds that they were added in by our media.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to really trust. And again, the confidence in, and I don't even want to call it mainstream legacy. It's just old media, the deceptive, decrepit, deceitful media. Because and then you're watching, too, what's happening with the people on the streets, just to shift gears real quick, with Venezuela and all of that that's happening with that. And you're looking at, you know, the what is this? Konstantin Kissin, who I love. He's another one. Trigonometry is a great podcast. Shout out. You should follow them. He says the West has produced thousands upon thousands of extremely stupid, extremely privileged, and extremely arrogant people who are dedicated above all to spreading and supporting the hatred of their own society, their nation, and their civilization. With a video, and you're watching Venezuelans, anti-Maduro, who are thrilled with what is happening against these pro-Maduro New York liberals who are wagging their fingers in their faces. It's stunning to watch this.
Well, what's her name who's on The View, who's Venezuelan or at least, you know, South American?
Is Ana Navarro?
Ana Navarro.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's kind of admitting that it's a good thing Maduro's gone, but negative about it because of who did it.
Trump.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're ever going to, I think Scott Jennings was on talking about that. It doesn't, I mean, it's like Trump could cure cancer tomorrow and they'd be upset about it, which is why I'm not interested in conversations with these people anymore. I don't care what they think anymore.
Well,
don't care at all.
As we talked yesterday, they don't care what you think and they've already disregarded anything you're going to say. You know, the other one I'm seeing that's starting to stir up a little controversy is the the money bags behind PBS and NPR and everything else officially been disbanded. What is it?
The Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, the CPB has been disbanded after, 67 years or something like that?
I mean, oh my God, Big Bird is going to be out on the street begging the subways of New York.
I'm sitting there watching on Facebook and people, I grew up on public broadcasting and I can't believe it's going away. It's not going away.
It's not going away. We're just not funding it.
Yeah, we're not paying for it. It can do all it wants as long as it makes its own money now.
Just Sesame Street alone is a cash cow. It's huge. They'll be fine. If you want to tune into that, God bless you. They'll be fine. Big Bird and Elmo. Again, I blame a lot of this on Elmo.
No, we don't need to rehash 2025 too much. Come on.
We don't. But, talking about between college and public school, many of these kids, these people don't stand a chance. The brainwashing, I got to say, the progressive leftist communist Marxists, they've been very successful. They infiltrated the schools, and now here we are. When you've literally got actual Venezuelans who had to flee their country saying that this is good, and you've got these awfuls and these liberals telling them no.
Yeah,
you're wrong.
I watched a video from a woman who left Venezuela years ago, going back and talking about it being the richest country, and then Hugo Chavez started the death spiral there, and Maduro was his handpicked successor and continued it until now in refusing U.S. aid and keeping us out and not allowing any help to come in. I'm going, that's as dictator as you can get.
Wow. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty, a little closer to home. Salem Reporter has a story out yesterday. Salem Council convened special meeting to discuss convicted murderer's appointment to the police board. I believe this meeting will be tomorrow night. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Are you going to make me watch it? Are you, Hunter, making me watch this?
I'm not going to force you to, but I may, provide you with a bottle to help you get through it.
Oh, okay. These meetings, they need at least a couple of glasses of Malbec to get through, and maybe some chocolate. This might be a wine and chocolate meeting. It's interesting because, again, this made national news. The city council will reconsider a decision to reappoint a convicted murderer to two public safety boards at a special meeting following national media attention. Yeah, and it was all negative.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the people that did this, the counselors, got called out big time for this ridiculous vote.
Well, I just sit here and go, my assumption will be, since they are calling this meeting, it's going to allow a couple of, maybe one, maybe two of the counselors that voted for it to do an about face and correct it, so it's no longer a stain on their re-election or election campaigns.
Well, we've already talked about Ward 7 counselor Vanessa Nordyke kind of putting her finger up to the wind and realizing, ooh, that's not a good look if I want to run for mayor. And she is running for mayor. Another counselor Mai Vang, she originally proposed reappointing Hedquist, and she will hold firm. I don't know what she's hearing from constituents. My understanding is that there's been some kind of gross stuff being attacked, and that's never good. Come on, people. Politeness is your friend. You can state your opinion. You can say that you're unhappy with the decision without resorting to, vile language and just being a jerk. Well, there's no need for that.
And that's the basis of all of this scenario. I'm sitting here just going, you have a stand, or present it, respectfully. And then if they don't, kind of follow what you as the constituents of the majority of their constituents are saying, then you can, kind of say, I have a problem with this because you're not listening to your constituents. You start using bad language or personal attacks or this and that. Well, then it just goes in one ear and out the other. And now you're the bad guy. Don't be the bad guy.
And we've been in the recipient on that kind of crap. And that's like round file. I don't have anything to say to you. It's a little concerning that she says she won't be influenced. I get the intimidated part. I mean, this stuff coming at her, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But won't be influenced. I mean, Councillor Vang, you represent a ward. You represent the voters and the residents in that ward. you're not going to be influenced by what opinions that they share with you. I'm not okay with that.
Well, I just sit here and go, didn't she win a three-way runoff, taking over Mayor Julie Hoy's seat?
Yeah.
So virtually
she doesn't have a mandate.
Yeah. Maybe she got what 40 to, you know, but less than 50% of her constituents even voted for her. So is she just representing the vocal minority that managed to get out and vote for her in this special election?
Right. And then, you know, this went massively viral for, and rightfully it should. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing. They were concerned about counselor safety. I'm just kind of reading this article as we're going through. And again, reiterating on this, nobody needs to be threats and things like that. That's just stop it. Just stop it already. That's a tactic of the left. Don't do that. And I don't know who's doing this. I don't know if it's bots. I don't know if it's people. They really haven't said anything. Bottom line is that's never the way to go on this. Be respectful. Be adults. Voice your opinion. But the other side of this is an absolutely boneheaded decision to do this.
Yeah.
And most people are like, what are y'all thinking? And I think they owe the community an apology, and they should reverse this, frankly.
Oh, yeah. And I have a feeling they will, but not because it's the right thing to do, but because it saves them politically on the face. That's where I have that feeling. It'll be reversed, but not because they should reverse it. Because if that was the meter that they're going by, then they wouldn't have voted for it in the first place.
Yeah, and the thing is this guy was in 2022 when then Governor Brown, thank God she's gone, commuted this guy's life sentence without parole because, again, he execution-style murdered a young woman. Mm-hmm. Kind of think that kind of should take you out of the running for advising anybody on anything. But so he really, I mean, many people say this guy never should have been released in the first place. But then, again, Vang is saying that she wasn't aware, she said, because the unions and the police and fire unions have been very vocal about this. The Marion County DA has been very vocal about this, was very vocal about it when the commutation happened. This has been in the news. I don't know how. Do you not know Google? I mean, not even barring a background check, which should have been done, which should be done on everybody. But do you not know Google? Quick Google search would have told you about this guy.
In today's day and age, the excuse of I'm unaware doesn't hold any water.
None,
at all.
None whatsoever, especially when you're in a position of leadership within this community. So I don't know. And again, to claim right out that you're not influenced, your vote can never be influenced. I don't know. Should you be in a position like that?
Well, I don't think so. And I'm assuming she's running for re-election now come May, and I'm going, us as voters, we need to keep that in mind and make that a big focal point of, you know, one, she won't be influenced by her constituents. She says that publicly. Two, she's unaware of things that are massive news stories. I'm just going, so virtually she's what, in this position just as a seat holder to do as her handlers demand? Because that's what it sounds like.
I don't know. I don't know her. I've been seeing a lot of anecdotal things, online and in different things, people coming. I do want to share a quote here from her. She said, quote, had I known that the unions held such strong positions prior to my vote, I would have considered their perspectives. Quote, to this day, I still do not know exactly what public safety harm Mr. Hedquist poses by being on this board. Well, if you don't know that, okay. I don't know. This is just frustrating. Well, yes, I will watch on Wednesday, Hunter. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, make sure you have your wine and cheese and chocolate and I don't know, whatever else, maybe stronger, but whatever you need to get through it. We will appreciate your sacrifice.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. Like I said, me personally, I think this should be reversed. I think the counselors that voted for this, and again, I'm going to read their names because they're public officials. It was Counselor Nordyke, Vang, Mickey Varney, Irvin Brown, and Linda Nishioka. Varney and Nishioka are up for election, and they have opponents. Mm-hmm. Brown just got on. Counselors Paul Tigan, Deanna Gwynn, Shane Matthews, and Mayor Julie Hoy voted against this. So there you go. We will be following this and seeing what happens.
I assume this is probably going to be a relatively quick and closed session. I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of public input.
I don't know if they're going to have public input. It will be open. Better be open. This isn't something that should be done behind closed doors.
No, I think it'll be open. I'm just saying I don't think this is going to be one of the long, drawn out, spend hours,
where we get the weeping progressive women. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could stomach that. If that's that, Hunter, sorry, I'm not doing it.
I'm cutting off early.
I'm drawing a line there. I can't do that. All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
All right. I would eat a cozy sandwich before I eat a McRib, but we'll get into that in a second because McRib is making news. But this is also making news, and this is a big deal. The Trump administration officially cuts the childhood vaccine schedule from 72 shots down to just 11. Well, I mean, I haven't had a little one in a long, 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 long time before it went insane. But he went to Truth Social. In European countries, apparently it's 11. The U.S. is 72. And then they do them like, let's give you, we got one visit. We're going to give them all the at the same time, which is not true, but it feels like that to a lot of people. He goes on, this is basically one of the most important moves made by this administration, part of MAHA and protecting children's health. So, quote, effective today, America will no longer require 72 jabs for our beautiful, healthy children. We are moving to a far more reasonable schedule where all children will only be recommended to receive vaccinations for 11 of the most serious and dangerous diseases. And before anybody loses their mind, if you still want 72 jabs, knock yourself out. You can have them.
Well, see, that's the thing. I was going to, you know, go for the devil's advocate side of, oh, Trump's going to kill all the children because they can't. I'm sitting there going, but yet most European nations only require the 11.
Yeah.
So we're following suit with the world scientists rather than the agenda scientists we have here in the U.S.
And aren't we supposed to be like more like Europe?
Oh, well, wouldn't that be the greatest thing ever? And then, of course, I'm sitting, and like you said, he's not saying you can't get all 72 jabs if you want.
Right.
That's up to you. I mean, heck, I can still go out and get my COVID jab right now.
Right, if you want to. I don't know why you'd want to, but okay. Sure, but you can. You have that freedom of choice. No one's taking away that freedom of choice. So this was good. I saw this, and I was really, really happy to hear this, mm-hmm. Especially since we've both got new little lives coming into the world here pretty soon, and we do not want them unless, you know, I don't know.
I don't need my granddaughter to be a pincushion. That's something I don't need.
No, not at all. So this is good. Bravo. I think this is a very important move. So, okay. Yeah, we got to talk about the McRib.
Okay.
I have always thought, I know, this is urgent news, but McDonald's has pushed back against claims in a class action lawsuit that the company misled customers by advertising the McRib as rib meat sandwich when this patty allegedly comes from other pork cuts. Now, number one, I've never had a McRib. To me, it always looked like goopy goo glued together, thrown on a bun, slathered with a little barbecue sauce and a pickle. To me, that is absolutely unappetizing. So no thanks.
No, I have never had a McRib either. If I'm going to go for ribs, I'm going to go somewhere like Adam's Rib Smokehouse or somewhere with some quality ribs.
Actual ribs.
But then I also sit here and go, this is a fast food restaurant.
And it's McDonald's.
And I'm going, so you're complaining about the food you're getting from a fast food restaurant. Have you never eaten there except when the McRib is available? Because it'll tell you everything you need to know. But then I also always feel like these kinds of lawsuits against fast food restaurants are eventually they're going to settle, give somebody a nice payday and get it out from under them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, lawyers argue that, quote, a McRib isn't an accurate representation of what's actually in the sandwich. Well, I'm looking at it. again, like you said, what do you expect? It's fast food.
Yeah.
I guess it is pork.
Yeah.
So do you really want to bite into something that has rib bones in it?
Yeah. I'm kind of going, yeah, it's fast food. It's not going to, they're not going to give you the bones, do they? I'm going, it's going to be the so meat weird. Off the bones because.
And again, how many times when we put Mick in front of anything means basically it's kind of fake and gross. maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I always sit there and go, you know, Mick anything has its time and place.
Sure.
But I'm not expecting a 3-course gourmet meal out of the deal.
No, not at all. And it's McDonald's. And, you know, I have things. I like McDonald's chicken sandwiches. I get them a lot. And so there's some good stuff. McDonald's has its place. I still remember as a little kid, you could go to McDonald's with a dollar, and I'm dating myself, and you could get a hamburger, fries, and a drink and have change. Mm-hmm. So, and McDonald's for us when we were little kids growing up, because I grew up in rural New Hampshire, we had to travel over a half an hour. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
But then this McRib thing is ridiculous. It'll be interesting. Honestly, I think McDonald's may prevail in this because I don't know that. Are we that dumb that you really have to say it's not actually a rack of ribs on your sandwich?
Yeah, I think so, because, jeez. This is the society we live in today. I mean, that's the bottom line. Every little thing, somebody's going to find something to complain about and have an issue with it.
Okay, well, I'm kind of siding with McDonald's on this.
Yeah, I'm in McDonald's court.
I'm on McDonald's side on this. Okay, got to talk about two radio colleagues since we opened the show. Again, lovely tribute by Mike.
Yeah.
Lovely tribute. And, kind of in tying in with that, we knew Dan Bongino, who was on our air for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
No,
he never has been on our air. Okay.
No, we definitely watched his podcast when he did it. Yeah. And he was able to create a radio show out of that and then stepped away from the radio show to join the Trump administration.
Right. As deputy director of the FBI, he's preparing to make a comeback to take on the grifters and the bums. And he's returning to conservative commentary. I know he has a very popular show. He's not been on my top 10 of podcasts that I listen to. Really never had been. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of glad to have his voice back in the fray. And especially, I don't know, how much he can talk about from his time as a deputy director. But I'm glad that he's back into it. He said, quote, "I started in this movement as a candidate during the Tea Party movement." Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. "And I began my political commentary career shortly thereafter. I helped build this movement, and I'm sure as hell not going to let it get hijacked by a group of black pillars, life losers, grifters, and bums." Mm-hmm. So given that comment, welcome back, Dan Bongino.
Yeah, I'm kind of going, I like his perspective of things because he is a former Secret Service member, former deputy director of the FBI. And I'm kind of going, he gives a perspective that a lot of other talk show hosts just can't give because of his time, especially the Secret Service member. I always found that very interesting, especially coming out of the J6 stuff and everything else, what he had to say, because he comes at it from the law enforcement side of what was going on and able to point out some of the mishandlings and the incorrect analogies that we're constantly spoon-fed.
Yeah. Exactly. So that perspective is super valuable. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about, we've got a movement guided by church. And again, we've talked about this a little bit, sort of the infighting and the fighting among, and I hate this word, influencers, conservative influencers, broadcasters, people that, and obviously the Ben Shapiro, the Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly now. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's kind of getting in there. I'm kind of like, come on, people. The tweet storms back and forth between Megyn Kelly and Mark Levin. Grow up.
Yeah.
Please stop this. Just stop.
Well, and of course, anybody that asks a question is now a conservative influencer in the mainstream media, because don't point out the things we don't want you to see, otherwise you're a conservative influencer.
and a lot of these people I have a lot of respect for have been, like Dan was saying too, been in it since the Tea Party days. I know I've been in this fight since the Tea Party days as well. There's been a number of people that have been, and then there's some people that have kind of just jumped in a little bit later. And again, I don't really appreciate, I'm just asking questions. There have been some people that I've respected for a long time that I'm not really that interested in what they have to say anymore.
Well, I sit here and with the way the internet and podcasting and all these things work today, I sit there and go, I don't know if I'd rephrase it as jump in, but more like cash in. Because that's what I see is a lot of people cashing in on perspectives and movements and things like that. I think that's who Dan Bongino is really talking about.
I think so too. And we kind of all know who they are. And again, everybody has their opinions. I know that where I choose to put my ears, I follow a number of podcasts. And a lot of these individuals are no longer being followed by me on my Spotify playlist. Mm. Speaking of Spotify,
I think Newsmakers is on your Spotify playlist now.
It is. I just followed us and gave us 5 stars.
Woohoo!
I know. Well, I'm excited. It's been a bit. It's been a while in the coming. We had to, Dave, our what's Dave's title? I don't know.
Production operations manager.
Production manager had to jump through some hoops and get this all done. But yeah, now if you miss us live on the air, you can catch us on Spotify, iHeart. I think we're still working on Apple. Apple's a little difficult. A little high maintenance.
Apple puts up some fences here and there that you kind of gotta get around. So
So we try to have those out pretty shortly after airing them live, unless someone's got something going on or whatever, which happens. But so we'll be on Spotify. And yes, We are on my Spotify playlist, Hunter.
Yay, we made it. We finally made it.
Now, the question is, are we on yours?
I don't really have one, but I'm going to make one just for that. And, you know, then I can consider myself a conservative influencer, right?
There you go. There you go. Well, it's a good thing. So, again, really glad about Bongino coming back. That's a good thing. I'm trying to look what else. Oh, there's so much stuff going on. Oh, just some videos. And I don't know what we got a couple minutes left in here, just as far as what's happening with Venezuela. And I have had a number of people sending me videos of, you know, actual Venezuelans talking about what their life was like. Many of them still have family back there. They're, you know, and it's interesting to hear that the ones that are in the United States are celebrating, contrary to what the individual who I read that thing yesterday from between a family member claiming that they're all fake. Yeah, dude. Okay. That these people, and they're coming out, but the ones that are still in Venezuela, it's got to be a little scary right now.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, I'm waiting to see what happens. Trump has come out and said that we're going to run it for a while. There's concerns. Nick Freitas is another one. It's like, I want to, you know, we're going to wait and see.
Well, then they've sworn in the vice president.
Right.
Is now technically, I guess, in charge. Mm-hmm. And of course, then the left-wing media is pointing out that because you only took Maduro, all of his people are still in place. So it's going to be run. And I'm kind of going, and that's where it comes down to. And then, of course, you know, the big topic is the oil. Are we in it for oil again? Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, this was one of the most prosperous Latin American country in the world for a period of time in the 90s. And by letting their oil infrastructure collapse and deteriorate and not putting the money back into it, now they literally can't harvest the biggest oil reserves in the world without some help. So we're going to invest. And my understanding is all of the money we invest is going to come back to us. And all the money we spend protecting that investment is going to come back to us. And some past debt is going to come back to us as well.
Well, and you just think about it as far as for Venezuelans themselves. So like you said, back in the 90s before Chavez and all of this came in, socialism, Mamdani, it was one of the most prosperous. And a lot of people, why should the U.S. is after the oil? Well, so was Russia and China.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you? I mean, they don't make any sense.
The minuscule amount of oil production that is happening in that country right now is being run through China. Mm-hmm. And I hear from the left-wing media that Russia and China are the bad guys. So should we not take over and help them prosper and ourselves as well instead of giving it to China?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is all part of a basic MO from the left, where basically it's coordinated, and you see this. You're seeing this with Walls, and you're seeing it with what's happening to Maduro. While you've got, I think normally people who should know better now defending a dictator, because they just flip the narrative. The victim it flips it on its head, and it's you kind of like you can watch for it, and it happens every time. It is an MO. It is a pattern, and it happens every single time.
I think it's all about the language, because they went from no kings to yes dictator.
Yeah.
As long as Maduro wasn't calling himself King Maduro, he's a good guy to the left, I guess. Because yes, dictators, no kings.
Yeah, and even though for years and years and years, Democrats and Republicans have been calling Maduro a bad guy, somehow now he's not. So watch for that pattern. It's out there.
Yeah, and it's not going to slow down anytime soon.
No, it isn't. It's going to go to 11. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. Go out, enjoy the day, and we will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.